Across Tamworth and the Northwest Slopes and Plains, you're waking up to 2TM Breakfast with Peter Huxley.
So Gunnedah Shire Council is looking for people to provide, masks for the council. They're looking for 300 sustainably made reusable masks.
Okay.
And they ideally want it to come from someone in the community. So it can be an organisation, a group of sewers, an individual who might be really savvy with the sewing machine, and you need to apply by tomorrow.
Why haven't we seen NRL masks yet? I thought of this months ago on this very show.
You mean
when
like
they first came out?
Like
you have
the
mask and you've got your little knight on the front, the little symbol or, you know, all the...
Yeah.
Like, so that's a winner, isn't it? Like,
yeah,
I don't know why no one's brought that out yet.
I actually have a friend who worked with... She's from Sydney and she used to make shirts. Mm-hmm. So her husband absolutely loves Marvel and Star Wars and things like that.
Oh,
and
okay.
She used to make him like a button-up dress shirt but with... the print of one of these his favorite shows. Anyway, she's just started like it into a small business because turns out there's heaps of nerds out there who love that.
Oh, there's nerds. Don't worry about that. But if you go to the movies now, and have you been in the movies for a long time?
Honestly, not for like 6 months.
No, I remember you saying that.
And I love the movies.
But every second movie that comes out is a Marvel movie. It's either a Spider-Man or some kind of Iron Man or the Hulk or... any of those, there's always two or three of those on at any given time.
It's a money-making machine.
So it must be a big thing. I think it's to do... See, I sit and think about these sort of things because that's the kind of guy I am. I'm very interesting. It must be something to do with the prevalence of video games these days and all of these Superman and
it's the merch
superpowers
that can come out
and all
of
that
it.
Sort of thing. Movies have sort of moved on with that and it's all superheroes and... people who can do things supernaturally now. It's just incredible.
I think the cost of making a movie like that has reduced dramatically with digital CGI.
Yes.
Exactly. But then also something like Marvel, it's got that connection to comics and it's got exponential merchandising possibilities.
Yes, it
and
does,
if you can make a movie that you can sell as a toy and a toothbrush and a Band-Aid and everything, that's where you're going to get
Band-Aid.
The money. Yeah, have you seen them? I've seen them.
No, what, Marvel Band-Aid? Oh,
yeah,
it's nothing.
For little kids.
I don't doubt you can get them.
Little kids and big kids.
I got a mate that runs a steel factory. He does sheet steel. He does those. You know that steel stainless you see in elevators?
Yes,
that polished,
the shiny.
Sort of, he does all of that. And he does the checkerboard stuff as well. But it's a good business down there. And he's got all these blokes working for him. He says the kids these days, the younger... ones.
The kids these days.
The kids these days. He's only 40. Yeah, they come in and goes, "Oh, I've got a little cut on my hand. I've got to have compo." And he says, "I've got to fill out all these forms and everything, and it's a little cut on his hand."
Oh, being
so,
held responsible.
Yeah, that's right.
How
exactly
horrible.
For a bloke's stupidity. That's right. It's a tiny little. Cut. So he says, "Do you want me to?" He's got Dora the Explorer Band-Aids.
As like a little clap back.
Do you want to?
He's like, well, if you're hurt, here you go.
You're going to have to wear the Dora the Explorer Band-Aid and they get better. So there you go. Yeah, so that's a little...
naughty.
I almost crossed a line then, didn't I, with saying young people and soft.
It was a very okay boomer moment, to be honest.
I'm not a boomer, right?
I know,
I am Generation
X. It was that moment.
X,
it was
the lost generation.
Do you feel
don't
lost?
Tell me boomer moment. And he's younger than I am.
Well, he was having an okay boomer moment.
No, he wasn't.
Calling
no,
them the
soft.
Young kids.
They
and
are soft.
Adults.
Well, they are. Well, young. Well, I can dispute that from a mental perspective, I reckon, on some of these people that work for him. But good business he's got down.
Get your day underway with 2TM Breakfast with Peter Huxley on Tamworth Zone 1287 2TM.
Now for the tipsters, because you've been absolutely a house of fire with the tipping. The Dragons play the Roosters tonight down at Wind Stadium, Wollongong, and that'll be cold, wet, miserable down there, I reckon. A couple of big outs I want to tell you about. Of course, Corey Norman's been dropped. Adam Clune returns to take his place. Trent Merrin comes back. He's on the bench. And Ewan Aitken's been named. He's a very tough, strong centre for the Dragons. But the big news for the Roosters last night, a double blow. So, no, you thought I was going to say Kyle Flanagan, didn't you?
No, I didn't. I was
Josh
giving...
Morris and Jared Warrior Hargraves are both out. with calf injuries, which makes the Roosters look a little bit threadbare, especially when you take Kyle Flanagan out of that team, and Lachlan Lamb, of course, son of Adrian Lamb, who was a great State of Origin player for St. George, also for the Roosters, also played for Papua New Guinea.
So they're going to miss a couple of their big boys there, Hargraves.
Boyd Cordner is still out. On the positive side for them, it's Mitch Orbison's 300th game. He seems like he's been playing for longer than that. But that means the Roosters have a little bit of a reshuffled lineup there all through their forward pack. The backs are still looking pretty good because they've still got...
Tedesco's still there.
Joseph Manu's still there. Luke Keary's still there. Ikavalu, who caught... scored about five tries the other week. Didn't know he was going to be playing till 10 minutes before the game when Brett Morris
wasn't he working at a shoe shop or something?
I think he might have been, yeah. So, yeah, he
retail life
went up to that game not thinking he was going to be getting a run at all, and then Brett Morris pulled up sore, and then he got five tries, and yeah, amazing.
New record.
Yeah, so look, both sides weakened. What do you think? Roosters weren't that good last week against the Gold
Coast. They haven't been playing that great.
No, and that's why he's dropped Kyle Flanagan.
I think they will get over because they've got that grit a little bit more than other teams.
It's a safe tip, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Roosters.
And with Corey Norman being dropped as well during the week, with the coach coming out and saying something about his attitude, something about he needs to work out what he wants out of the game or some...
Sounds
sort of
like
comment
some
like
bad
that.
Culture going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, well, St. George, you know, if they don't make the eight this year, that'll be 7 years in a row, I think. The Eagles playing the Warriors, the resurgent Tamworth Warriors, who nobody saw that coming last week, least of all us. A huge win last week with the courtesy of a few extras they've got in there, such as Jack Hetherington, Daniel Alvaro, I'm looking through there, George Jennings. They've got quite a few fill-ins there now, and good on them. Nothing wrong with that. Playing down at Lotto Land, who we thought, gee, I remember saying last week to you, Manly are worth an extra 10 points down at Lotto Land, and turns out that was right because they got 12. But the other mob put about 46.
I was like, right. So, I don't know about
they did,
that,
Pete. Well, it would have been 46-0 if it had been at the Penrith Stadium.
You feel like Brookvale
they got,
Oval...
They got their 10 points, but... Yeah.
Gives them the wind beneath their wings.
Yeah,
but
I think so.
Unfortunately,
yeah.
The Eagles been clipped earlier this season and she's not flying.
Yeah. So what are you saying, the Warriors?
I don't know. I'm feeling
there's very tough
on the
games
fence
this
with
weekend.
This one, but I haven't. I don't normally go crazy. I normally go with the the higher ranked team, but I'm gonna chuck a Warriors.
Gonna chuck Tamworth Warriors.
Tamworth Warriors
go
all the way.
The Warriors. All right. Well, I'm gonna go with Manly down at Lotto Land. Surely they won't. They would have been embarrassed last week in front of their fans to get 40 points put on them there last week. They still
what's
have
a
no
bigger motivator though, winning or losing? That's the question. So
no, well, we're about to find that out then, aren't we? Manly to win that one, and you're going with the Warriors. That's fine. Rabbitohs playing the Broncos.
Do we need to ask you who you're going for?
I'm going to go for the Rabbitohs.
Oh, thanks.
They've got David Fifita back this week. They were a huge in, of course, for the Broncos after being out all year. Anthony Milford is out. I don't see that as a bad thing for the Broncos. I don't think he impresses me much. David Fifita makes his long-awaited injury return in the back row. Brody Croft back in the halves. Joe Offahengawi goes to the bench. And the Rabbitohs are unchanged, although Adam Reynolds did go off early in the game last week.
Is he back?
Well, they've named him.
Yeah.
So I couldn't tell you any more than that. They've got Jack Johns lined up as a replacement, who, of course, is Matthew Johns' young son, if he doesn't play. So we'll just see what happens there. I think Adam Reynolds will play. I think the Bunnies will win.
I'm going to go with the Rabbitohs.
You're going to go the Rabbitohs as well? Yeah, it's at ANZ down there at Homebush, the quickly revamped ANZ Stadium. Storm playing the Dogs Saturday 8th of August at 3 p.m. at the Sunshine Coast Stadium. No Cameron Smith.
With 1,000 less spectators, so we have
some
social distancing
sure.
going on.
That was
on.
A little bit of a faux pas there, wasn't it?
It was.
Brandon Smith starts at hooker there with Cameron Smith out. No relation. Ryan Pappenhausen is being rested with Nico Hines from the Central Coast starting at fullback.
Is this the storm putting up the lightning, the light storm, storm light for this round?
Well, it's Cameron Smith. I don't think he would be missing a game. He's trying to clock them up so his record never gets beaten.
No, I know, but they're thinking, oh, well, you know, Bulldogs sitting at 16th at the bottom of the table. We'll just put on storm light and see if that can do it.
Correct. The Dogs offer Hickey Ogden moves into the starting side. Sione Katoa, who's a hooker, starts at hooker with Aidan Tolman and Jeremy Marshall-King benched. Aidan Tolman, of course, benched after he took the quick tap when they should have kicked the goal last week.
Benched that for be, your idiotic mistake.
Yeah, that's right. Right in front, everyone's pointing at the sticks and he runs up, grabs the ball, taps it and gets tackled.
You can't see, you can't hear and you made a poor choice, so you can sit down.
Correct. Look, the Dogs have been good value the last few weeks, I've thought. A win and a, well, probably should have won last week. They had their opportunities to win that last week, but
I don't think they could come
up over the line there. I think, look, Melbourne are just too good, you'd think, wouldn't
they? Yeah, I just don't think they could get a harder game with these guys, honestly.
No, and look, if you take Cameron Smith out of the lineup, they're still very, very strong. So I think, yes, I think the Melbourne Storm way too good. Knights playing the Tigers. Here's a good one. The Knights were awful last week, I thought.
They've got a new player.
Who's their new player? Blake Green.
Straight from the Warriors, effective immediately. He's playing some of the best footy that he has in a while. And for some unknown reason, the Warriors came out with that comment saying they won't be taking him on next year. So I think he just thought, you know,
stays at the Knights.
Let's go.
Yeah, why not? Well, why wouldn't you?
And fair we can enough. Take any player that we can get right now because their injuries are
and you've
got
to be
chart.
Pretty good to be playing for the Tamworth Warriors as well. Don't forget that. Like they don't, we don't want a bloke like that. He's not going to put in for the club. So look, this is a tough game. I'm telling you what, but the big out for the Tigers, in my opinion, is Harry Grant, who's been a terrific find for them this year. Unfortunately, he's a Melbourne Storm player. He's just waiting in the wings for Cameron Smith to retire, and he is a terrific player, but he's out this week. Blake Green starts at 5'8 for the Knights, allowing Kurt Mann to shift to hooker in place of Chris Randall, who drops out. They've got awful problems with their hookers. They've lost three top line hookers this year, unfortunately, the Knights. Bradman Best, well, they kept, that was painful to watch last week. I was watching him last week, and why did they not take him off? He just limped the whole second half, and every tackle he made, somehow the other guy landed on his ankle.
I know, it was horrible.
And he gets up grimacing and all that. Well, he's out. Turns out he's out possibly for the season with one of those...
Syndesmosis.
High ankle strain that they call it these days that they never used to get. Years going back, years there was no such thing. It's a modern day injury, that one.
They're a lot more solid than they used to be as well, I think. Yeah. Like muscle-wise.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
And he's such a young man. He is very solid.
He's muscle-bound, isn't he, for a young fella? He's only 19. He's actually the same age as my kid. Used to play football
against
my...
Turning 19 this weekend, right?
Yeah, my kid turned 19 on the 11th of June. So they actually played footy against each other as kids.
On the coast.
On the Central Coast. So we always go, oh, look, Bradman. Because you don't forget a kid called Bradman.
No,
because it was always go Bradman when he was little.
And then everyone
in the sixes, under sevens, go, wow, that guy named his kid Bradman. How cool is
that? And you look at
the
parents and you think, why did you do that?
Yeah, but I tell you what, he could be the next Bradman of football. Knights to win.
Yeah, I'm gonna back the Knights.
You got to go from Penrith and the Raiders. Now here's another huge game. Gee, there's a lot of this is a crucial round of football for the tipsters, I tell you. And you want to make sure you get it right. Obviously, the Panthers coming off a 40-point flogging of Manly. Malachi Watini-Zelezniak returns on the wing because Charlie Staines, who's averaging 17 minutes per try for his whole career, 6 tries in 1.5 games. Unfortunately, he's out. Wellington boy. For the Raiders, a good in for him. Chance Nickel Klokstad is back at fullback. So Rapana can go back to the wing there, so that strengthens their team. Then he's a very good player, young Chance. But the Penrith at Penrith Stadium, this one as well on Saturday night. I think you've got to go Penrith.
Yeah, a bit of home ground power. I think they're going to take that one.
I tell you what, not to be missed though. I think that's going to be an absolutely terrific game, and it wouldn't surprise me in the slightest if the Raiders got up in that one because they always put on a good game against Penrith. The Titans, actually, their local derby. I think they'd be the nearest club to the Raiders, would they? Maybe Illawarra.
Canterbury?
George Illawarra. Well, as you come up the Hume Highway, you sort of...
Oh, righto.
Yeah, maybe they might.
Which no one should be doing right now.
I just made that up. The Titans playing the Cowboys. The resurgent Titans playing the resurgent Cowboys. Michael Morgan back in for the Cowboys.
Battle of the bottom of the ladder.
Yeah, well, not quite the bottom of the ladder. You've still got the Broncos and the Dogs propping up these two, so don't worry about that. Cowboys have been good value the last couple of weeks, as have the Titans. They almost got over the top of the Roosters last week. The Titans, they played extremely well, I thought. And Justin Holbrook, their new coach, has been really giving them a good kick on. Michael Morgan back in. I don't need to say how good of a player he is at halfback. He's been out for a long time. And with him steering them around the field, plus Jason Taumalolo, I think maybe the Cowboys might get up, but I don't have any confidence with that. 2 o'clock Sunday over at Gold Coast.
Yeah, I'm kind of like not really sure which way to go with this one either. But
tough.
I think I'm going to tip the Cowboys. I think they looked really good last week.
They did, and so did the Gold Coast. Don't get me wrong, but you know maybe they peaked against the Roosters and. They're going to go down. I don't know. And to round out the football this weekend, another tough game, the Sharks playing the Eels. The Eels fell over the line against the Dogs last week, which isn't the best form you'd ever see. The Sharks have got Scotty Sorensen, Matt Moylan, Josh Dugan, Jesse Ramian all back in. So they've got basically the return of the... Well, they've got a lot of troops returning. Josh Dugan's 200th game there. Jesse Ramian is a good young centre as well. Didn't go any good at the Knights, but unfortunately he's back there now. Matt Moylan returns in the halves. That's some pretty good firepower they've got there back in their side. They got up last week as well, of course, over the Broncos.
No surprises.
The Broncos had that shot to pieces.
Well, I have some unscientific information re this game.
Yep.
So my stepbrother, Daniel, mad Para fan, and the only times that they've lost this season was when he wasn't watching and he was actually at work.
Yep.
And he's having a very social distance family barbecue on Sunday for this game. So
he's watching it?
Yeah, he's watching. So if anything goes, Para's... Para's it.
All right, Para. Well, I'll go with Para with you as well, I think.
That's my very scientific...
Okay. Para can't be as bad as they were in the second half. I mean, in the first half, they were unbelievable. They were up 18-0 and they looked like they were in cruise mode. And they took the foot off the pedal and the Dogs made them pay. But I think, the Para, they're hard to score against. And I think that would have hurt them last week. Parramatta, that one. Thank you very much, Tony.
Get your day underway with 2TM Breakfast with Peter Huxley on Tamworth's own 1287 2TM.
Well, there's an interesting survey online here today about alcohol. I know. According to a survey, and a scientific survey of about 2,000 respondents, they actually had 2,152 respondents. They had to discard 152 of them because they didn't complete the survey properly. They were probably drunk. What gives you the worst hangover? 22% of people said tequila, 20% said vodka, 17% said whiskey, which would be bourbon or scotch, I guess. Oh no, scotch is listed separately, so this is American, so that would be bourbon whiskey. Rum, 14.7%, gin, 10%, scotch, 8%, others, 6.25%. So just stick to your beer and wine by the sound of that, isn't it? It'd be sweet. 685 out of 2,000 respondents became nude in public when they drank vodka. 32% of them said vodka, 22% said rum, 22% said rum, 19% tequila. Tequila features very heavily in this survey at the top of basically all the stupid things you do. Tequila seems to be the one where people go the wildest. Well, here's an article that we can apply ourselves, I think, if you really, really don't want to get coronavirus. And let me tell you, I'm in that category. My hands up. A man from Florida who's a CEO of a small company. It's not like he's the CEO of Apple or anything. He's flown 33 times amid the coronavirus. And he's yet to get it, and he's shared his secrets as to why. And you can apply these to yourself. You don't necessarily have to be flying, which you probably can't do at the moment anyway. Tried to cancel a flight yesterday, but I couldn't. I was supposed to be flying to Melbourne in October. I'm like, I'm not going. I'm just not going. And they wouldn't let me cancel it. But I digress. A Florida-based CEO has flown more than two dozen times this year, 33 in fact, has shared how he's protecting himself. He says he protects himself from coronavirus while traveling by wearing multiple layers of disposable gloves and exposing the least amount of skin possible. So he wears the long sleeves and the long jeans, you know, or the pants or whatever, the gloves and the mask, everything. And he wears four or five layers of gloves, those little disposable gloves, and he peels them off after he touches something, and it's working for him. When I enter the airport, I wear multiple layers of disposable gloves and I peel them off as I go through it. Trams, escalators, trains, peel a layer. Check in, use a kiosk with a touchscreen, peel another one. The security check, peel a layer off. The travelling businessman also said he always uses a paper ticket instead of pulling up information on his phone. Hundreds of passengers scan their phones and many of them lay them flat on the glass, he said. I don't want anything to do with that. He also swaps out his mask every 4 hours because it's safer and oddly gives you a feeling of being of freshening up. Well, it would if you're wearing the same mask for 3 or 4 hours. Just swap your mask over. Find a non-crowded bathroom in the airport. So you can apply this to anything, can't you? Find a non-crowded bathroom. Of course, you avoid the bathroom on the plane. Make sure you go before you get on. I swap my mask every time I use a bathroom as well. He said he refrains from purchasing food and beverages and tries to keep his distance from other travellers by sitting in the corner alone. He also makes sure he's covered up when he boards the plane. So head to tail, no short sleeve shirts, anything like that. Multiple layers of gloves on, and you just peel them off and chuck them away as you use them. I expose the least amount of skin possible. Funny, the only time I wear collared shirts is on the airplane to cover my neck. I don't let my skin touch any surface. So that's a good thing. Don't let your skin touch any surface. That's a good tip, isn't it? After boarding the plane, he uses an antiseptic wipe to disinfect all of his surfaces. Wipe all surfaces at your seat, including the seatbelt, belt buckle. All of this is probably common sense, isn't it? But tell you what, you know, it's having the discipline to be able to do it. I guess that's why he's a CEO already as well, because he does have that attention to detail. But despite all his precautions, he still fears he's not doing enough to protect himself. And he says, as we all do, it would be insane not to be worried about this.
Tamworth Zone, 1287 2TM and 2TM Breakfast with Peter Huxley.
An 82-year-old Florida retiree busted for drink driving after wrecking his golf cart. I tell you what, you've got to be going pretty good to wreck your golf cart. He's claimed Donald Trump drove him to drink. Investigators say Kerry Devan, a former IBM manager, wrecked his ride earlier on Thursday or last Thursday evening in a one-cart accident less than a mile from his home in the Villages, the country's largest retirement community. They're around in their golf carts. I guess you get off your mobility scooter onto your golf cart down there if you want to go somewhere serious. In the arrest report, Devan apparently drove his cart over a concrete curb, breaking its axle and dislodging the windshield. The golf cart is the preferred mode of transportation for elderly villages people who like to think of the sprawling development as Florida's friendliest hometown. Upon contacting Devan, who was not injured in the wreck, police suspected the octogenarian, who was slurring his words and smelled of booze, they suspected he'd been drinking. He was unsteady on his feet and unable to perform a field sobriety test. In fairness, he's 82. You can't get him to stand on one leg and clap his hands or whatever they do. A pair of breath tests registered his blood alcohol content at nearly twice the limit of about 0.16. That's not the limit. That's how much he was. While speaking with a cop, Devan explained he was watching President Trump on TV, then got really mad at what he said. Devan added that he began consuming vodka after enduring the president's performance. Trump appeared on July 30 at the White House briefing room, and he gave a rambling update on the administration's coronavirus efforts. He opened his remarks by expressing our sadness, blah, 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 blah. This made Devan angrier and angrier. The more he spoke, the angrier he got, and the more vodka he slammed. Devan, who crashed his golf cart about 9 minutes after Trump stopped speaking, did not specify which of the multimillionaire's remarks allegedly caused him to hit the bottle, but he said just all of it. It was all of it. I can't stand him. charged with driving under the influence. Devan was booked into the Sumter County Jail on the misdemeanor count. He was released the following morning after posting a $1,000 bond, and he's vowed to never watch Trump say anything ever again.